Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, the understanding, Father, that we need, to help us, Father, with knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it, Father, so that we can grow thereby and walk straighter, walk more upright according to your will and your way. And we ask this, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Going to be speaking to you this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. Give everybody just a minute to get there. All right, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, pardon me, in heavenly places, and far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to bring to you and I the message and the portion of word he would have each one of us to receive here this morning. And we ask this also in that sweet, precious name of Jesus, that name in which we owe all praise, all honor, and all thanks to. And once again, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we back up here now, you know, we find as we go through the New Testament, these books, as we call them today, these letters, was not like most people think. They were not wrote to sinners. These letters were written to people that were supposed to be believers. Most of the letters that Paul wrote was wrote to a church even. So you know that everything, even in that day and time, wasn't really smooth. These are things we don't think about most of the time. We don't think, you know, actually how it was back in Paul's day with the church. But we know everything wasn't real smooth, or he wouldn't have been writing these letters the way he's writing them, because he's telling you and I and the church of that day and time how to live, because there was a lot of things that he had sorrow because they was not doing that they should have been doing. And just like today, only now I believe that here in our land, our churches has walked further away from the Word than what the early church had. That's why, as you talk to people today, you can't get them to church. They don't want to hear, because they've got their own ways, their own mind, and they're not going to come out of their own mind and give their mind and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just not going to do it. And it's a sad, sad thing. Because let me tell you something, the Lord is coming back for his church. And all that's not ready is not going to make it. And those that don't make it, you're going to split hell wide open. And they're going to go through hell here on earth before they even leave the earth. We got some bad things coming. Real bad. And they're not as far off as what everyone would like to believe and to think. Just look around you and look at those that you know even. How they think. And what they believe in. And most all today, itself. I want everything. Can't get enough. And that's exactly the way mankind is thinking today. Just can't get enough. So I've got to do everything I can do to get the things I want. The church don't matter. The Lord don't matter. I'll just do it my way. Because when I leave here, I'm just not going to exist anymore. This is the way mankind's thinking. But he better get out of them thoughts and start working to get himself right to make heaven his home, because he's only going to find himself in hell and end up in that lake of fire. And you know, even a lot of them that will believe that they're going to end up in that lake of fire, they believe they're just going to be thrown in there, burnt up, and then not exist anymore. That's not so. The Word tells us that lake of fire where the worm never dies, that worm's you, for those that ain't right, that has been cast into that lake of fire. And we're told they're not going to die. They're going to live that punishment throughout eternity with no way out. Think about it. All because we choose to walk the wrong way. And here with Paul, Paul says, he's letting us know in that first verse who he is and what he is and how he got to be that way, as he does in most of his letters. He's telling us he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he got that way by the will of God. Just as you and I today, what we will receive that is good will come from God. And it comes to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do we get it? It was brought to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. God has been trying to deal with mankind down through the years in the right way because he loved mankind. But mankind, from the very first man on, done things kind of his own way. And that's what brought sin upon the rest of us. It was that first one that wouldn't listen. Now, as he was going on here, he says, to the saints which are at Ephesus. It's letting us know. He's writing these to those that are actually supposed to be children of Almighty God. And he tells them, he says there in verse 2, he goes on to tell them, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, most of us today, we just don't stop and think about the Word of God. We don't meditate upon it to realize how we can receive the promises of Almighty God. We pray and ask God to give us this or give us that. We get sick, we go to God and we ask Him, Lord, heal me. He already has. It's already been done. The only reason we don't have it is because we are not walking in faith. We're not walking according to His Word. And we're not putting our trust in Him. We're doing everything our own way instead of God's ways. You see, He tells you to speak to that mountain. He says you speak to that mountain, it can even be plucked up and cast into the sea. And that only takes a small, small piece of faith. As small as the smallest seed, that mustard seed. And you can move them out. So why is it we're not seeing the promises of God in our lives? It's because we're not accepting it. We're not walking according to His Word. And there's a lot of it that we don't even know exists because we won't take the time to get into God's Word and study it rightly and come together in our studies to be supportive and help to each other. And this is what Paul is trying to get across. And that's why he's writing this to the church and to those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who this was wrote to. This letter of Ephesians. And he's telling us himself there. And he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That word blessed here means worthy of praise. Worthy of praise. You know, when God blesses man, He confers those gifts and those benefits upon us. And the only reason we're not being blessed is because we're not walking in a way to receive them. It's not because God has not given them, because He's already given them. That was all taken care of with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll hear some of the preachers say, well, you know, yeah, everything was finished when Christ died. No, that wasn't the finish. If Christ had stayed dead, we wouldn't be here today. It was His resurrection that brought the finish. Him being raised from the dead that put the finishing touches to everything. Those nine gifts of the Spirit that was given to you and I and to the church of 9 spiritual gifts. Wouldn't be here today if Christ had not arisen. Do you know, man can live in a way where he can carry more than one of them. He can carry several of them. And there may be a time to where he would have use of all of them, dependent on the way he lives and how he is putting his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now, in verse 4 he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And today, most are teaching that you can't walk that way. Most are telling you that you cannot live a holy life. You can't live without sin in your life. You see, if you live a holy life, you ain't got no sin in it. And they're telling you can't live that way. And yet his word here is telling us that we can and must, actually. And without blame, we're to walk holy and without blame before the Lord Jesus Christ in love. Think about it. But how many do we know that's walking that way today? This is why we're seeing churches like this, 2 and 3, 4, 5, 6, not full anymore. This little church right here at one time was packed full. Every service. The man just got further and further and further away. And what are we doing about it? How hard are we really working to see the church built back? To see people back in these seats? How hard are we really trying? I was sitting listening to a pastor on the television, and I got a book. I don't even know how come me to get the book. I didn't send for it. In fact, I've never been in touch with that pastor. I've heard him several times on television and all. Don't know how he got my name and address to send it, but it was sent to me by my name and my address. Well-known evangelist. Got a big ministry going. And walks contrary to the word of God in a lot of things. Makes you wonder, don't it? You see, that's what's hurting. Because people see and know. And the reason for, I just wonder if he's not doing that because he's afraid of his wife. Because you see, she's also, and his daughter is a senior pastor in his church, which is against the word of Almighty God. And yet he's trying to tell people how to live and be godly. When he can't even rule his own family, and run it, He's supposed to be head of that house. He's supposed to be head of that home. Not his wife. Him. And he is supposed to be head of her. That ain't the way it is. And yet, he's got all this literature going out around the world. But you'll never hear him preach a message from 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, 1 John, 2nd John, or 3rd John. Guarantee you, you'll never hear him preach a word of it. And when you go against that much of the scripture, you're not what you should be. Now, we're getting in here now to another subject that is very controversial. Predestinated. Predestination. What does that word predestinate mean? One of them says it means that you were pre-called. Actually, predestinate means to mark off or adopt or to choose before. You see, we have all been called by God to be His before we were ever born. He had your life laid out for you. It was all pre-planned, but he gave you a free will. Because we're not slaves and we're not robots. He made us men. And we were created in his image. What's that mean? That mean, do we look like him? No. We were created a spiritual man. This body is just a temple or a home. It's a place we live. And just as the scripture tells us, one day it's going to go back to dirt. That's where the first body came from, and it's going to go back to dirt. But the spirit is going to go back before God. And whether man wants to believe that or not, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to go back and stand before him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. No way around it. And then we'll be judged for the way we've lived here on this earth. Whether we have walked by his word, kept his word, been obedient, or whether we have went the other way. And for the most part, most is going the wrong direction. Because they're following, as the word tells us, the prince of the air, which is Satan. And it's all unnecessary. And he didn't make it that hard. The thing of it is, we listen more to Satan than we do to the Lord our God. Satan's out here tempting you every way he can tempt you. And we follow a lot of his temptations more than we'll follow the will of God. And yet, when these temptations will come, if we would go to God and ask him about it and what we should do, we could get the right kind of guidance and know how to stand against that temptation. One of our biggest tempters today, and this is no joke, is that box we got sitting in our house called TV. One of the biggest temptations you can have. Because most are not going to control what they see. And if you don't, you're going to see a lot of things that the Word tells you not to even look at. Most of your commercials today are not fit for a man of God to watch. You ever thought about why? Why is it that our commercials are so bad today? It doesn't matter what they're advertising. Somewhere in that ad, they're going to show you a woman that's near nude. Or that's dressed provocatively. And most men are not going to look at that and look at that the right way. Their mind's going to take them off in the wrong direction. Now, a man of God can get by out of that, yes. But the more you keep watching that, then the less likely you are to get away from it. Because after all, we are men. We are in a human body. Now, before the Lord really got a hold of me, unlike everybody else, oh yeah, I loved looking at them. And I had a lot of thoughts I shouldn't have had. Committed a lot of sin over it. But you know, when the Lord really got a hold of me and got showing me these things, it got to the point to where one would flash up and I'd see it. And I think, you know, she don't care nothing about herself. That wrong thought wouldn't matter. The thought that would come, she don't care nothing about herself, or she wouldn't bathe, she wouldn't be dressed like that in front of so many people. Because, you know, I've told the story before, but as an example, I'll give it to those again that might be listening to this morning that hadn't heard it. Show you how Satan will work. And he'll do it right in your church. I was preaching in church here in Louisville. And I was preaching in a black church. There was a white man there. And this young lady come in the door, come down, got right on the front row with a micro mini skirt on. And she'd sit there and she'd look up at me and grin. And she'd cross that leg and raise it way up high. 30 seconds later, back the other way, way up high. Knowing she ain't covered. And she'd look at me and grin. I stopped preaching. I looked at the congregation. I told them, I said, you know, we've got a young lady in here who don't know how to cover herself up. When she covers herself up, I'll go back with a message. She got them left. Deacon come to me after the service and said, you run her off. You know what I told him? I didn't run her off. The Spirit run her off. But you know, she come back the next Sunday. She come back. She was dressed right. She come to the altar. She gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as I know, today she is still working in that church. Because she was told better. We are not to let just everything pass by us. We are to warn people when they are wrong. If we don't warn them, how are they ever going to know? Because if they didn't know it when they done it, they're not going to learn it unless somebody tells them. Especially when it comes to doing things that's against the Word of God. Because most of them don't read it, period. And even those that will read it, if they're not a child of God, they don't understand it. And the Word tells us that. Without the Holy Spirit giving us the deeper understanding of God's Word, we don't really understand that Word. And we're told that. That's why we needed it. That's why it was sent back to us on the day of Pentecost. So that we could understand and would understand the Word of Almighty God. But, you see, although He pre-called us, and He called us, you and I, as adoption into the family of God, because His chosen people were the Jews. The Gentile people were idol worshipers. They worshipped every kind of God going, except Him. We have been adopted into God's family and into His people when we become a child of the living God. And that's what this predestination is about. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We have not been made into accepted until we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I. We have to fulfill that plan of salvation. And we have to fulfill it as it is written. And we have to fulfill it in our age time and the way it is to be done in the age in which you and I are living. We can't fulfill it according to the law. That's not the way for you and I. And it gives us that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 when Peter preached that service after coming out of the upper room that day on Pentecost filled with the Holy Spirit, preached a great service. And at the end of it, those that heard him asked him, What must we do? And he told them, go and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name. We're told exactly how. But no, they want to change that, and they did change it. Think about it. They did change all of that. Our church has started changing that back, probably 60 years back. One time all your churches baptized in Jesus' name, every one of them. Now look, we got very few that do. Most of them baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We baptize you by John's baptism. And when you read the book of Acts, you'll find that every time that the apostles found someone that had been baptized that way, they took and rebaptized them in Jesus' name. Because until things are done and done right and in the right way, you're not going to be that child of the living God. Now, here in verse 7, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, that is all done through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about redemption. That is letting you and I know that we're not slaves. We are a child of God. When? We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he has forgiven your sins, they're covered by his blood, you have become a child of God. Now, is your work just done because of that? No. You still have some things to do. And he's told us, yes, we repent. And he forgives you. But you've also got to be baptized, because you've got to put him on. And that's the way we put him on. We preached about that back here, last week? Last Thursday, was it? Anyway, just a little ways back. I come with a message that night out of a magazine I had. Remember that? Got a book, 117 pages. Wrote on the book of Romans, 6th chapter. It was all about the cross. Wasn't about Jesus, it was about the cross. And the word baptism wasn't in it not one time. And yet that's what the 6th chapter's on. You see, the way we word things is whether the word gets out or not. There was a lot in it that was truth as far as things that was wrote in it and scriptures and all. Had a lot of true scriptures in it. But then the way he had wrote it and stated things and things he had left out of it you wouldn't have been able to know where it came from. And then, like I said, it wasn't about baptism. He was telling you that salvation comes to you through the cross. And that's what it stated. Remember, I read it. It stated that it would come, that salvation comes to you through the cross. But it don't. It comes to you through the man on the cross. Now, if it had been stated that way, it would have been true. But it wouldn't. Salvation comes to us through the cross. Healing comes to you through the cross. No. You see, it was taken away from the Lord Jesus Christ and putting everything in a piece of wood. That's why we need the Spirit guiding us when we are teaching the Word of Almighty God, to make sure that we're not causing something to change in man's mind and giving them the truth of what is written. If we'll stick to what is wrote, we'll be a lot better off. Now, verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, now, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. Gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. All things must go through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. We go through him to reach the Father. The things that the Father has for you and I comes to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ and is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. But it has to come through our Lord and Savior Jesus. There's no other way. The man has made things a whole lot different, hasn't he? They turned things around. And they put faith in the cross, a piece of wood. The only thing that the cross was, it was an instrument of death. And it wasn't used just for him. There was two more crucified same day he was with him, two thieves. But it was used all the time in bringing death to people. It was an instrument of death. And we know that we can have good things in our life if we just put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him. Spend time in church. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Giving him praise. Giving him thanks for the things that we have and the things that he has yet to give us. Thanking him for all things and putting our faith in him And then we will be able to make heaven our home. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this morning, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word, Father. And Father, we pray for all of mankind today, because, Father, we can see mankind walking further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. And, Father, your saints, wherever they are in this world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, to keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, because at this time we know that they have very little of peace and growing worse each and every day. But Father, even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, help us to remove from office those, Father, that have been against your church, that has been against the Lord Jesus Christ, that has taken him out of every place he was in. And help us to replace them with those that will work for the church and work to put Jesus back where he belongs. And work with us to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ and your word. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, for Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and the little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, not only lighthouses, but make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep these churches filled with the Holy Spirit, Father, so that they can reach out to the communities in which they stand to help everyone that's standing in need. Now, Father, for our three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe and supply all of their needs, Father. Keep them in health. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for each and every family that will hear this message, Father, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will work in these families, Lead those that are walking in darkness. Lead them in ways, Father, to turn them from that darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all make heaven their home. Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, her mother, Sue, David, Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father, in a mighty and great way so that they'll know that that healing has come from you and not from mankind. Be with us now, Father, throughout the remainder of this day, keeping us safe. Bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. So, Father, until then, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again this evening at 6 p.m. So walk with him and he'll walk with you. Have a great day now.